The following program is brought to you by the Humble Farmer Bed and Breakfast in St. George, Maine. Thank you for listening. We all have friends who march to a different drummer. They can't wait to chip ice from their doorsteps. We're talking here about Maine poets who hope that trees will drop on power lines, you know, so they can sit by their wood stoves, sip herbal tea, and read by candlelight for 3 days. Most poets, think about this, most poets probably dislike reading by candlelight next to a wood stove. It's even more likely that Maine poets are revolted by the nasty taste of herbal tea. And if you stop and think about it, you've never seen a Maine poet out in the dooryard on a January morning, freezing fingers while changing the oil in a 91 Nissan pickup. These affluent, reclusive poets will tell you that they revel in the tranquil beauty of what you would call a nasty Maine winter. They endure this ritual of being snowbound for the sake of 2 pages of blank verse and the opportunity to bore you to tears by bragging about it later.
Hi there, this is Clark Terry here, reminding you to pull your bearskins a little closer to the fire. That's it. Now you're talking to me. Watch out for those snapping sparks. Everybody cozy? Now the good news is that you're in time for the humble farmer. You've worked hard all day, and you deserve to relax now. So stay right there and listen to the best of this kind of music.
We'll be right back.
Stitt here on the Humble Farmer. My name is Stitt. I interviewed Sonny Stitt years and years and years ago. That's the only thing I can remember him saying. My name is Stitt. And the bass player there sounded like he was stumbling, didn't they? Why do I have that impression? Anyway, most Maine artists are in the same bag as Maine poets. Maine artists love winter. Within a period of 2 years, two artists, both of these artists live right here in St. George, Maine, two artists within 2 years designed the White House Christmas cards for our president. If a Vesuvius were to erupt on Monhegan today, Maine artists who were unfamiliar with Pliny the Elder, anyway, these Maine artists would rush out to Monhegan, palettes in hand, hoping to turn misery to advantage. So your plowman, the fellow plows your driveway, and your basic Maine artist can't wait for the first miserable flake of snow to fall.
Couldn't help you any more than you could or I could. Bess couldn't help it, though she tried to be good. Oh, so good. She's pretty as the heavens above. Oh, boy, how that girl could love. Oh, Bessie had affection, and that was simply wonderful. Bess couldn't help it any more than you could or I could. But when she'd smile, you were bound to fall, that's all. A boy kissed Bessie in a taxi one night. Why did she yell with delight? Bess couldn't help it any more than you could or I could.
Here on the Humble Farmer. 1955 or so, Dick Cash was going to go in the army, and Dick Cash was most fantastic trumpet cornet player. And when he was going in the army, I said, "You got to record something for me so I can listen to you while you're away." And he put on this record that I just played, Bessie Couldn't Help It, and he played the accompaniment. He played on top of that, and I can still sing that. Do what he played. We're talking here about people who love Maine winters. Your friendly oil dealer loves our bitter cold Maine winters. You know this. You know that our Your friendly oil dealer relishes every uninsulated wall in your 200-year-old house. And when he thinks about the icy wind that blows in through the cracks around your windows, he smiles. You can see him. He leans back in his leather chair and pours himself another glass of Cabernet Sauvignon or something like that. Artists, poets, oil dealers, people who plow your driveway. Every one of these people who profit from your anguish and suffering will tell you that Maine winters, well, they really aren't bad. You just happen to be in the wrong business. Thank you. stit. Oh, what happened there? Stit. I'm sorry about that. I don't know. I didn't hit anything, I don't think. Stit. Stit, Sonny, stit. And I think, I don't know, who was that playing with him? Was it Bird? I don't know who else could play that way. I'm the humble farmer at gmail.com. You know these things, you can tell me. With any luck at all, you can hear me playing old-fashioned music just for you every week at this time right here on your favorite station. Thank you so much for listening. We are talking about the suffering endured by many of us when snowflakes fall, and the fact that the bigger the storm, the more some of our neighbors profit. That said, here's the other side of the coin. Did you know that this very minute there are a handful of dedicated volunteers in Maine who are working to lower your energy bills? Their organization is called Window Dressers. They make a low-cost, high-quality, reusable interior storm window. And you can learn more about them online by Googling Window Dressers, and you're going to hear from me right now because we don't have time to talk about it. Indeed, the less I say about Window Dressers, perhaps, the better off they will be. I've been volunteering there, helping them make storm windows for a couple of months, and when I mentioned my intention to talk about my observations here on the air, somebody cried out, "Oh, please don't. Somebody might believe it." Well, you can read online, as I said, how the gentleman who started Window Dressers was moved to action one day when he was in church. He felt a cold draft on his neck and realized that his discomfort came from the cracks around a nearby window. Well, faced with plugging the leak in the window or giving up Sunday service, happily, the salvation of his soul triumphed, and he built interior reusable storm windows for the sanctuary. His friends who sat next to him, the parishioners saw them, pronounced them good, because they all wanted some of their own for their own homes, and a non-profit business was born in Maine. This is how these things happen. My next-door neighbor, Barbara, invited me into the Rockland plant, where she quickly forced a roll of sticky tape into my hand, and it didn't take Barbara any time at all to get me working there. And listen to this. I was surprised that I could stand in one spot for 3 hours and put sticky tape on the edge of a wooden frame that was to become a low-cost, high-quality, reusable interior storm window. You know this. I have difficulty finishing any project I start, so helping out at Window Dressers is the ideal job for me. I can quit anytime. I can walk away anytime. Someone else will finish it. It's like being married. One out of every 4 windows made there by Window Dressers is donated. Do you hear this? 1 out of every 4 windows we make there is donated to a low-income Maine family who are lucky enough to live in a drafty old Maine house. Well, hopefully what I've just told you, what you've just learned, has piqued your interest to the point that you will visit one of the Window Dressers plants here in Maine, or you'll Google, find out where they are. You'll be glad you found out for yourself what this, you've heard about it, I know, so you'll be glad to see for yourself what this inside storm window business is all about. Were you to critically evaluate the statewide efficacy of the program, however, you would be faced with this very thorny question. If Window Dressers is really and truly helping many of Maine's neediest families, why hasn't our governor tried to shut it down? Thank you. Cart are making all the changes. Paul Desmond, Jerome Kern tune. Till the Clouds Roll By, a song I only learned a year or two ago, and I like it very much, so you're going to hear it a lot. Thank you for listening. Every time you turn on the television set, there's a report of how terribly cold it is and shows people who look like they're freezing to death walking down the street. But I want you to notice this. No matter how cold it gets, you only see one or two men wearing hats that cover their ears. That's because men of average intelligence are controlled by a thing called fashion. It's a habit that became so ingrained when they were little boys that they never outgrew it. Your average man, you know this, your average man would freeze his ears off before he'd wear a hat and risk comments or surprised looks from his friends. The only men you will see wearing hats that cover their ears in cold weather are those with IQs above 125 or below 75. Think about this. You know this is true. If your IQ is below 75 or above 125, you don't even notice what other men are wearing anyway, and you simply dress in a manner that makes your body comfortable. Do me a favor and notice the average fellas with the cold ears and chuckle there to yourself the next time you see one in town. Here on the Humble Farmer. Well, with any luck at all, you can hear me playing old-fashioned music just for you every week at this time. Thank you for listening. I am thehumblefarmer@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. And did you notice? Stip put in a couple of, just a little teeny wee bit of Lester thing, woo woo woo, and then dropped it down a half tone, woo woo woo. My cousin, I'm sure that didn't escape your attention. My cousin Truman Hilt tells me that there are so many people named Jimmy Smith that they even have a Jimmy Smith convention, I don't know, down Virginia, North Carolina, someplace. And hundreds of people show up. Can you imagine that? You know, that could be awful confusing unless everybody wore a name tag. Thank you. Oscar Peterson. Doo-doo-doo-doo. From What from Guys and Dolls. You can see her sing there. If I were a bell, they'd ring. You might remember that a while back I asked you to send me an unbelievable lie that I could use on this program, and you'd be glad to hear that the winner of the Big Lie Contest, the winner is a man from Camden, Maine, and he has asked me, well, to not mention his name, but he writes, last week I ate one of those fast food hamburgers. There was so much cholesterol in it that I no longer have any feeling in my hands. Here on the Humble Farmer. Is it time for me to remind you that you are listening to the Humble Farmer on your favorite radio station? With any luck at all, you can hear me playing old-fashioned music just for you every week at this time, right here on this, your favorite station. Thank you so much for listening. I am the Humble Farmer at gmail.com. Always Glad to hear from you. When you're being considered for jury duty, you're asked if you have any opinions on the matter at hand. If you say, yes, I have opinions on this matter, the law says they can't use you. They only want people who have no opinions, no preconceived notions. What kind of person can have lived 70 or even only 60 years without having any opinions? And how do you select the jury from the few who claim to have none? Think about this. If a nice-looking young man is accused, do you want nice-looking women on the jury? Would unattractive women automatically dislike him, knowing that he would never give them a second glance on the street? Would plain-looking young men be jealous of this man? Would sweet old grandmothers want to cover him with a protective wing? If you're a man who has been selected for jury duty here on the coast of Maine, here's one bit of advice if you really want to fit in. The only two men in the courtroom wearing a necktie will be the accused and his attorney.
Pick yourself up. Take a deep breath. Dust yourself off and start all over again. Nothing's impossible. I have found, for when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, and start over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Or will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath. Pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again. Again, so take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
Sharon, Nat Cole, almost time to get out of here. I got a few more minutes. You will not be surprised to hear. You will not be surprised to hear that handguns predominate in firearms crime. More than three quarters of the 83,000 guns used in crime that were traced for law enforcement agencies in 1 year, they were handguns. And think about this now. Of course, crooks commit crimes with handguns. Have you ever tried to walk into a bank with a shotgun in your pants? thank you, thank you, thank you for listening.
I'm in. I get to sing with the famous King Cole Trio.